Apologies once for the second and then a bit of the question about the just apologies from the DG. He took it earlier this morning and indicated that he wouldn't be able to join us. And give it an apology. With me is Mr. Mengo, the acting CFO, and the chief operations officer is also not able to join the preparing for another meeting. And I'm with Mr. Delevi, the chief director responsible for policy.
That you all did that support me was really for eyes to blood. I just want to raise my dissatisfaction. I feel that now it was worse when we were talking about the politicians. But now when the PC and the special advisor to the moment, which I had hoped would be here, are not here. Even those that are coming, they come late. They come here thinking wait for them. I'm not going to comment much on that, but I think maybe what we have the comment will have to write a letter to our superior who will check it up on our behalf. I'm just hoping that the department do understand the importance of this resolution to the country, what it means to them. It's not us who want the presentation to be made to us, it has to be done. And they know the implication if this resolution is not done to their budget. So I'm just surprised by the time to think of it. If I were there, I was going to put everything aside. Because it's their lifeline. If they don't have a budget, they're not departing. I don't know why they don't take it seriously. Maybe they don't take the promise seriously. I'm not going to go back to those things again, but the matter that we are raising as a committee, I'm sure you had other members. The higher officials, most senior officials had today, the 15th was just been appointed. I speak for the first time myself. That is why I'm asking where are the other leaders, because I know them. They're also not here. We take it up, but nevertheless, let's start with our meeting. I'm not going to waste time because already we are far behind stages. I don't know who will be leading the presentation, but to take us through the presentation of the department and we'll engage thereafter. We have 40%. And you are going to have an hour now, you are checking your 25 minutes. We're going to give an hour for the presentation. Let me give you 45 minutes for the entire presentation. I know sometimes it will be the strategy, APP, and it will be the financial. Do that within the 45 minutes. Then we'll take it after that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, members of the committee. Chair, I just need to indicate, I should apologize for the circumstances this morning. And just to place on record that the department and the ministry will take up the issues, but I also need to place the emphasis that the importance of this committee is not lost in the department. And obviously the set of circumstances of the moment are important, but I'll convey that both to the minister. But thank you for that. Members of the committee, Chair, I have with me Mr. Mbengu, who is the acting chief financial officer, as well as Mr. Buzalezi, who is the chief actor responsible for policy. In relation to the presentation as requested by the Select Committee, it details the strategic plan for the MTS as well as the annual performance plan for 2015-16. As indicated in the set of documentation provided, we've got a table of contents and that gives us the background, the departmental strategic plan, the annual performance plan, the budget and the delivery targets. Obviously, with other information that's required, we provide it as the comments and questions, but also if there's a further need, we can take it up. The background, in relation to the department, the NDP, in terms of Chapter 80, Chapter 8 outlines the vision for human settlement and housing towards 2030. I just need to indicate that one of the important things about Chapter 8 is that it outlines and defines particularly the VNG as well as the Comprehensive Plan of Sustainable Human Settlements. And we're quite proud that particularly as the department and the minister that what was adopted during the course of 2004 is contained and in many respects the forward looking not only of the department but I think as government. The emphasis within the NDP is on a government-led strategy to fast-track the development of housing and human settlement, whilst at the same time improving the quality of life of citizens. And particularly in relation to the NDP and its emphasis on quality of life and its relationship with the outcome 8 delivery agreement signed by Minister Sisulu together with President Zuma. So that's encapsulated particularly within that delivery agreement. And there's a set of targets that have been set in relation to that for the provinces as well as the metropolitan municipalities receiving the USPG. Chair, the medium-term strategic framework for 2014-19 prioritizes the delivery of 1.46 million. Chair, there has been an issue that, particularly in relation to what the department communicated, that is 1.5. We check the exact figure is 1.46 rounded off to 1.5, so that difference indicates that. In terms of the strategic plan, it covers the context for 5 years, and particularly in relation to the NDP, is the fact that one of the criticisms raised against us as government and department is our inability to radically transform the national space, and what is attempted in the strategic plan as well as the annual performance plan over the next NTS is to be able to correct that criticism by ensuring that there's a radical transformation of the space economy through human economic development. In relation to the spatial transformation, there's particular emphasis on the eradication of poverty, unemployment, and inequality. The delivery focus is on mega projects of integrated housing mix, and that's for the indigent, particularly the affordable housing sector, rental units, social housing, and service stand. There's an emphasis on the integration of the various income groups, and then also the issue of the third bullet point on the last point on that slide. Is the different places or deregulation in broad terms. But also emphasizing that as a country there's the inclusiveness. The strategic plan, in relation to the macro performance indicators for the strategic plan, there's the emphasis on clean audit, to ensure that there's strategic leadership, governance, oversight, essential support, and to promote a compliance and well-functioning department as an agency. And I think the emphasis here is on the administration, and if you've got that, and there's a strong, good institutional foundation, it leads to the rest of the objects and outcomes of the department being able to be achieved. Of emphasis is a revised Housing Act and Housing Code to bring that in line with the human settlements change. So from housing to human settlement, we're still sitting with the Housing Act, we're still sitting with the Housing Code, and as emphasized in the various policy statements of government together with Minister, is the housing paper to be revised into a housing white paper, and some of that emphasis will come through in relation to the APP as well as the strat plan. In relation to that, we've got the programs. Program 1, as indicated, is the clean audit and active administration. Program 2 is the human settlement strategy, policy and planning, which is the foundational basis of what we do as government. Program 3 is the program management unit, and that's particularly to build, oversee, support and monitor the sector institutional capacity and the ability to deliver on the human settlements programs, particularly in relation to the human settlements development grants and USDG. Chair, in relation to those macro performance indicators on that, we split the progress to achieve the 1.5, that 300,000 opportunities per year, which then totals the 1.5. In relation to program 4, which is the housing development finance, and that's the funding, one of the key concurrent responsibilities with the provinces and particularly as national government together with the parliament. there's in the month of this year, for example, of 2016, there's 3.9 billion, and then relevant increases as indicated by National Treasury in terms of the budget, the finance budget, 33.2 billion for 2016-17, and 35.2 billion for 2017-18. Here, in relation to the strategic goals by program, we've outlined in relation to program one what the administrative purpose is, and then also provided strategic objectives. There's been a clear outline of what needs to be achieved, particularly in relation to program one. There's the strategic goal, and then also the strategic objectives, which is aligned into the APC. In relation to program two, in relation to strategy, policy, and planning, and I'll just emphasize a couple of things here again, so that it then complements with some of the issues that minister together with the department as well as government and president indicated in the nation address. Of importance is the evaluation review of improving housing instruments and subsidy regime to better direct housing and human development investment, fast-track delivery and affordability, the development of policy and administrative systems, the strengthening of the program for accreditation of municipalities, as particularly in relation to better alignment, coordination, and consultation between ourselves and national schemes together with the provinces, as well as municipalities, because the emphasis is that from a national perspective is to focus and emphasize the strategy, policy, and planning, and then also to give the ability to the provinces and the municipalities to implement those funding allocations. In relation to program three, the program management unit, which there's a substantial amount of work being done at the moment. Of importance in relation to this, not to dismiss the importance of the other thing, is the effective support and monitoring, particularly in relation to provinces and municipalities. Because if the provinces don't perform, the municipalities don't perform, then the sector finds itself in difficulty. I think that's one of the points that particularly we need to emphasize and build in capacity in relation to this. Program 4, the housing development finance, that's an outline of the strategic goals, strategic objectives. And we indicate in relation to this what the strategic goal and strategic objectives, and we cover the 7 points that we've indicated. I'm going through this so that we can give the committee the opportunity to be able to question so that there's a better indication. So if I'm going through fast, please indicate. Okay. So in relation to this, there's the points that we've indicated, and I think the issue is the value for money, but also the monitoring coupled with what the program management unit. So it's the housing development finance, and this is particularly the program that's overseen by the chief financial officer and is an emphasis around this. So in relation to the annual performance plan, I've indicated one of the key issues, particularly about the term of office, is that this represents the second period of administration where the delivery agreement. So President Zuma has concluded an agreement with Minister Sisulu, and in relation to outcome 8, the delivery agreement, the point that I raised there is that the emphasis that President has emphasized in the delivery agreement is providing poor households with adequate housing in better living environments, to supporting the development of functionality and equitable residential property markets, and then improving the institutional capacity and coordination for better spatial targeting in line with what the NDP indicates. In relation to the delivery agreement signed between President Zuma and Minister Sisulu, of T is the target in terms of outcome 8 over the MTS set. A total number of 1.46 million housing opportunities will be delivered, or must be delivered, and that we've broken that down. So 750,000 households in formal settlements to be upgraded. 563,000 individual units in the subsidy market. 110,000 loans. That's 70,000 in terms of the financing individual subsidy program, and as well as 40,000 through the DFIs of the department. 27,000 social housing and 10,000 community residential units. And then a further 35 affordable rentals through the SHRA. Other target is that 2,200 informal settlements will get set, and 10,000 hectares of well-located land will be rezoned and released for new developments targeting particularly poor and lower to middle-income households, and that's through the Housing Development Agency as well as the provinces and municipalities. In addition, as indicated, there will be 50 catalytic projects to be implemented, 563,000 title deeds to be issued to new homeowners, and that outside of the current backlog. The 563 is attached to the 563 subsidized units, but I think it's also important to note that from an analysis that the department's done, that is a title deed backlog of approximately 900,000 from existing deliveries that must be eradicated, and that's one of the emphasis, and that's a mandate that's been given to the department through the government initiatives on that. For the purposes of the delivery agreement, the targets of each provincial department in terms of the various objectives will have to be formally agreed and approved by the Union. That's been done, and for each of the provinces, together with the metropolitan municipality receiving the USDG grant, we've set aside those targets and they are available. In addition, given the prioritization of the specific target areas, the provincial departments have been requested to revise their business plans to focus on priorities as set out in terms of the MTSS. That's 30% of houses to be delivered by women. And then in relation to the 1956 commitments made by the department in relation to Women's Month, there's 1,956 houses per province for delivering human settlement funds. And that's, I think, to emphasize and to mainstream the program of ensuring that this has a particular relation to women within the sector, given the fact that 42% of, for example, targets have indicated that informal settlements, 52% of households are headed by women. 10% of houses to be delivered by youth in terms of the youth brigade program. The 5,000 housing units for military rights, and then the hosting of the various social contracts as well as the government election boards. The budget, and as I've indicated, Chair, and we've indicated in the strat plan, the budget of the department has been negatively affected by the downturn, so over the period, and I think some lingo will indicate that. Chair, the department's total allocation for the 15-16 financial year amounts to 30.9 billion. And just to emphasize, this represents a decrease of 1.9 billion from the previous baseline of 32.9. So this is in line with what Minister Ngenya announced in the budget. However, the allocation is projected to grow over the 2015 MTS to a maximum of 35.2 billion. In the 2017-18 budget. Of importance, particularly in relation to ensuring that the vast majority of the allocated, only 2%, as I say, that only 2% of the total allocation goes to operational budget of the National Department. Grants constitute 93% of the total allocations, or of that, you'll see that a substantial 93% of that is allocated to provinces and municipalities. And then in relation to transfer payments to public entities, that constitutes a further 5% bringing it to the total 100%. Chair, I'll ask Mr. Mengel to just take us through the allocation over the 2015 Report Commission and the Mengel Committee, if that's okay.
Thank you. Chair, when you look at the slide that presents the white line at the top represents the previous baseline of the department. We are moving from that baseline to a revised baseline which is at the bottom. You will notice, Chair, that we are moving for 2015-2016 financial year from a baseline of 32.8 billion to a current baseline of 30.9 billion. You will also notice, Chair, that the difference of the drop is made up of two things. One, the additional allocations for 2015-2016, they amount to 261 million, and there are reductions on the department's budget, which amount to 2.1 billion. The next slide, Chair, reflects more details on the actual additional allocations. The additional allocations, as Chair will notice, are made up of three for the 2015-2016 financial year: an additional allocation for the HDA, an additional allocation for the National Urban Reconstruction and Housing Agency, which is NURTURE, and also an additional allocation for the NHSP. Those allocations, Chair, they total to 261 in the current financial year, and in the next financial year they go up to 200 million, and in the last or the outer year it's 250. You will notice, Chair, that on the overall over the MTF period, the additional allocations amount to 711 million. But in addition to the allocations, there are reductions on the budget. I will not go through all of them for the sake of time, except to indicate, Chair, that on the operational budget of departments, the reductions in the first year total to 81.2 million. And the most severe of all of them, Chair, is a reduction on the compensation of employees, which amounts to 54.7 million in the first year. And it goes up to 58 in the second year, and in the outer year, it's 62.9 million. With regard to grants, Chair, the total reduction in the first year is 130. And you will notice, Chair, that over the MTF period, grants are reduced by 2.1 billion. While the operational budget on the overall is reduced by 289 million. If you look at the total, Chair, right at the bottom, you will notice that the allocation of the department actually is reduced by 2.1 billion in the first year of the MTF, and 1.4 billion in the second year of the MTF. I'm emphasizing this, Chair, just to emphasize the fact that the department's allocation has actually moved from a high baseline to a lower baseline. And when you look here, it just gives an overall picture where you are moving from a higher baseline to a much lower baseline. And you will notice, Chair, that the actual allocation of the department actually gets reduced by more than 4 billion. I also want to indicate, Chair, that maybe I will emphasize in the next slide. This slide just takes the budget as indicated, and it splits it among the four programs of the department. In the first year, the administration got 435 million, human settlement policy, strategy, and claims get 74 million, program delivery support gets 169.8 million, and program 430.2 billion. You will notice, Chair, that the biggest program is program 4, And that is where all grants and all transfers to public entities are actually managed and are allocated. Hence that program constitutes a bigger allocation. Just to summarize on the net impact, the net impact of the NGF on this 5 minutes was a reduction of about 4 billion, which is mainly made up of the following. First, 1.6 billion is due to the transfer of sanitation functions to the Department of Water and Sanitation. Secondly, 2.1 billion reduction is due to the reduction of grants and allocation. 3,722 million is due to the reduction on the transfer to departmental entities. And last year, the 289 constitutes a reduction on the operational budget of the department. So this is the allocation by economic classification. It's the same allocation just to give an indication here on how it has been allocated based on its economic classification. You'll notice that in the first year, the operational budget amounts to 690.9 million. Grants and transfer gains amount to 3.2 billion. And if you were to take the whole allocation and split it into two figures, those are the figures here. It's 690 million operational budget and then 3.2 billion on transfers and grants to public entities. You can, in addition to that, split the grants and transfers to two figures. One, grant only amounts to 28.8 billion, and then transfer to entities amounts to 1.285 billion. And then right at the bottom, there is a smaller figure here, which constitutes transfers as well, but not transfers to entities, but transfers in respect of a household, as well as in respect of international entities. And we have budgeted 8.7 million for the bursary scheme of the department, a scholarship program which the department has been running for some time now. And then we have also budgeted 1.5 million in respect of the UN Habitat. The Department of Human Settlements represents the country in the UN Habitat, and the allocation for our contribution as a country to the UN Habitat amounts to 1.1 million. And then there is the transfer to housing. And then, so when you take the grant, you will notice that there are about three grants the department is managing. It's the Human Settlement Development Grant, the Urban Settlement Development Grant, and the Municipal Human Settlement Capacity Grant. What we have done here is just to give you an indication of how each grant is split in respect of provinces and municipalities. The Human Settlement Development Grant is allocated to provinces or the nine provinces, and as you can see here that in first year it amounts to 18.2 billion and is split among the nine provinces. This allocation here is based on a formula which is linked to the the last census census 2011. The human settlement, the urban settlement development grant chair is also a grant managed by the department, and it is transferred to metros, and it is based also on a formula. And as you will see, chair, that all the metros get a portion of the 10.5 billion. You notice here that in the Eastern Cape, you've got those two metros, Buffalo City, Nelson Mandela, they get a portion, and Malong also get a portion. And I will not go through all of them because of time, but only overall, the USCG in the first year amounts to 10.5 billion. And it goes up to 11.7 in the outer year of the MTS. The Municipal Human Settlement Development Grant has a total allocation of 100 million in the first year. It remains the same in the second year, and it goes up to 115 million in the outer year of the MTS. And each metro has allocated a portion also based on a formula chair. And that chair concludes the total price system of the department.
Thank you, Jay. Jay, in addition to the allocations, particularly in relation to the HSEG and the USDG, the department, together with the provinces and the municipalities through the MIMMEC and the various other compositors, we've established certain delivery targets, and these are what is envisaged. In relation to the planned provincial delivery for program, in relation to this, I mean, as I've indicated, consultation with the committee, we are able to present the provincial business plan, and I think it's important that we do that at the appropriate time, and depending on the recommendation of the committee. In relation to this, this is what the plan, this is what in effect the HSEG will buy. So in relation to financial interventions, and these are broken down into what the housing code and the different programs. A particular emphasis here is the fact that the planned targets. So in relation to sites for the financial year, there's 58,257, and when we refer to sites, we talk about a service site, that's water sanitation and a title, and then the units that we refer to is the house constructed. So for this financial year, it's 102,676, and then that's just the total overall picture. In relation to what is contained in the DORA, there's a certain ring fence amount, and this includes the mining towns that has been stipulated and managed and coordinated through the presidential intervention on mining towns. We've outlined for the committee in terms of the housing towns, just to indicate the mining towns that are indicated there is Retenera, Ransantin, Merapong, Emalsleni, Isretje, Kalocheu, San Sabane, Katepohaniana, and Kamahara in the Northern Cape. So those are the ones that are stipulated, particularly in relation to the presidential initiative that's been given to us as a department. And then also the Limpopo and the Northwest, the mining town. So it indicates that what we need to indicate is that notwithstanding the fact that there has been the, as indicated by Mr. Mengu, the issue related to the curtailment of budgets, and I use that word, that what we having to be able to do, I think in line with government priorities, is to better utilize the value for money or the achievement of the value for money. So the department organizational structure is being revised to ensure that the strategy, both the state and government strategy and its plan outcomes is achieved. So I think that's important. The department has reviewed its outputs and target matrix and is now reporting on 36 strategic objectives with 96 credits. It was a lot more, but a lot less focused in cost for this financial year. The rationalization allows for improvement and will bring much needed efficiencies, particularly in performance and monitoring. And I think this committee is also aware of some of those constraints and efficiencies. And hopefully, going forward, we'll be able to demonstrate that in terms of what the outcomes are and what we achieve on that. A much extensive strategic and planning process to be undertaken during the period leading up to the budget, and I think that's particularly so given consultation with the committee as well, given its importance and oversight, particularly in relation to provinces and municipalities. And then improvement in alignment of the strategy of the entity, because that's an important aspect. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much for the presentation. Before I speak to the members for the engagement of the presentation, I want to check two things. I might be updated in terms of planning. But why is your planning like this? Under normal circumstances, do we have so you have those key strategic objectives at the beginning, as you said, but moving 4-1-1-2-2-8-2-C. And following with your strategic objectives, very liberal indicator. You may put by the one. But your plan is not like that. That's what I'm saying, my amnesty is outdated in terms of planning. You have I can't hold them in the air now, but under these key strategic objectives, these are indicators that will be implemented in this financial year. Maybe spending this money, budget is something else. But you don't have, you are pushing it differently, you didn't take it. So you can't fix that to follow what you think to the head. That is why I'm saying I might be asking in terms of planning, I need to be assisted. The second matter being, did you check into consideration issues that were raised by the Auditor General about your indicators? I'm just raising these two questions first before I offer the member to engage on the investigation.
Thank you, Chair. In relation to the department, we have tabled the strategic plan as well as the annual performance plan. And in the annual performance plan as well as the strategic plan, as you, exactly as you indicated, those are outlined, Chair. In terms of the presentation, that was fortunately not put in the manner that you speak, but you put it, Chair, that's how it is. Chair, in relation to the ATP that has been tabled before Parliament and yourselves as well, okay, we've got the strategic goal, there's the strategic objectives, and then your program and performance indicators, the baseline, the 2015, 16, 2017. So I'm not sure if the committee had sight of this, but the ATP, the department, the one that is tabled, Chair. I've got copies here. We can make them available. So, Chair, that's been an oversight on our part. I apologize for that one. But it's contained in the strategic. Chair. Chair, we've linked the ATP to the strategic plan for overall sort of summary, Chair. But if you want in that, that's not a... Chair, just to indicate on the Auditor General, after we have tabled our strategic plan and the ATP, the Auditor General has commented on our ATP as well as the strategic plan. Chair, we met with the Auditor General issued us with certain recommendations, particularly in relation to correcting, amending, and revising our strategic plan and ATP in relation to the SMART criteria, but also certain sort of inconsistencies. We agreed with the time frame on the Auditor General for a resubmission of that, and that will be done during the course of that. But by and large, the department has complied with that. However, as indicated, I have got an indication, or Chair, I'm not sure if the committee itself has had sight of those recommendations by the Auditor General, but I do also have a presentation on some of the issues that the Auditor General has raised. I don't know if you want me to highlight them, but I can just come back. Or we can come back and but there is a process that we are undertaking to put it.
according to the Indonesia, and the Islamic study will come to the Indonesia. By talking about human testimony. My first question is in regards to how this fall is being carried out. I don't have to find out if the department needs completely finalizing the police back in their houses for the military defense. And how these are going to be distributed across the province. The second issue that I wish to verify is the issue of the bank infrastructure. The ability of the Department of Human Settlements to deliver houses is hinging around the ability of the minister to provide bank infrastructure. The last, I knew what the way challenges at the level of municipalities. How far have you gone in terms of resolving the challenges of the bus infrastructure? The third one is the accreditation of the network. I think the intention of the accreditation was meant to affect the delivery of the housing. But I don't know if all the networks have been using the accreditation that is up to level two. With this kind of the conference, we can be able to ascertain whether the delivery of the housing is going to be fast-tracked. I'm worried about the baseline that has been issued vis-a-vis your target, particularly reducing allocation for the compensation of employees. It is not in keeping with the spirit of job creation that the government is actually talking about. I know that the government is responsible for creating an enabling environment for jobs to be created. But that is about when indeed an allocation for the compensation of employees has been issued. Are you reaching out to the department? Are you reducing stuff? I think explanation. I don't get the rationale. I suppose that then your APC is aligned with the NCC, the NCF as a corner, and that you will keep in the target that will actually promise the nation that will be able to deliver over a 5-year period of prospective institution of financial years. Lastly, what is the subsidy pipeline as you speak now? And the quality of the houses that are delivering is consistent with the contract that are allocated. I know that it has been revised, but alongside that, are we improving the quality of the kind of structure or any that we end up developing? Thank you. Thank you.
My mind on this matter, why is it Gianna didn't sign the statement, the annual performance plan? Other officials have signed the document. Why is it Gianna didn't sign the document? On the strategy goals by strategy goals of the department, on page of the presentation, but I want to know, does the department have a monitoring team to monitor the department approach projects? Also, the Auditor General concerned, he raised the number of persons in the key position in the department. But this is the strategic planning unit is the one who has more of the history. For example, the manager for strategic planning has acted for 7 months now. Why? What is happening there in that section? it was a concern raised by the auditor general. Also, when I was listening to the news yesterday, that's why I'm asking the question about the monitoring team, who's monitoring the project in the province or at the national level. In East London, there are many flats higher as the hour. But they were handed over to the client,
to the beneficiary.
Is there any monitoring team to monitor the project? That's my question for now.
So my attention is called the concept is called the waiting box change economy. You can see an information meeting that was circulated that concept. If you go to page, the pages in the slide, you have number. It's okay. But in your presentation, I believe that you better understand it. Now, can you better articulate that concept to us? I don't want to assume that I understand the conceptualization of the concept. Also, with specific reference to on the partial planning, the review, the progress that we are making, because I'm convinced that we always talk about changing and transforming the special processes, special planning, but we are not making any progress. I want you to better inform me, better educate and empower me on the issue of special planning. The second issue chapter that I want to ask relates to the issue of tightness. The burglars that I'm talking about, and that includes the burglars in the municipality. We few weeks ago, 6 or 7 10 weeks ago, we took Parliament to also, and there was a free visit to different municipalities, and we visited the municipality called Hesekwa Municipality in the West. Our people there are residing in a project or in housing units that they don't have their title. They are not really sure whether the land belongs to the municipality or what. I may not be in a position to remember the specific project, but you remember the project that you, that's the name of the place. Now, our people are so confused what to do and where to go about getting the title because they don't feel the sense of ownership of those housing units. The third element I want to ask relates to the identification of your mining towns. Free State is not part of the mining towns. Yes, as you were talking about the provincial pronouncement, maybe just put it in that kind of a question. The first question relates to the entity. I know that I'm not part of this committee, I'm not a member of this committee, but I'm a member of parliament. I have the conservative view when it comes to the list of entities that we have. Not only in this parliament, but across all government departments. And I'm not convinced that all entities that we have, they do the job that they're supposed to do. And they increase the level of impact that is supposed to be making in terms of living together to our people and saving the living to our people. Can you say something about that? The fifth question relates to the farm market. What is the farm market? Somewhere you talk of the farm market. I think those are the questions that I wanted to pose to the side. Job creation.
can you quantify job opportunities that we create in terms of the projects that we have? Thanks.
No, thank you very much, Honourable Members, for the question. Let me add my few issues. The first one, I don't know whether some of you will answer this one, because in the previous meeting, the first target was 1.5, but later it was 2 million. I don't know whether it's my thinking, but I know in 2 meetings that that target for 1.5, we later spoke about 2 million. So now I want to check whether if my thinking is true, this 1.4 is it informed by the decrease on the baseline, or we have just abandoned, or we have just realized that the 2 million we're talking about is impossible to implement. I know in the lab that we had a housing, we're talking about 2 million. The workshop that we had here in Central, we're talking about 2 million, but now we're back to the 1.43. What's the basis in target for this term? The issue of the 2 grants that aimed or dedicated to the metrics. We spoke about this because my thinking is that when we meet with the department and make them to suggest it, we make this suggestion to be looked at for future learning purposes. Now, you're coming back again this financial year only still considering the metrics. This is the urban development grant, if I'm not mistaken, and the human segment something. But it's 2 grants that are aimed for the mission. So what we said last time to the government is that for us, that is broadening the gap between the poor and the rich. When you talk now in terms of cities or provinces, we even said to you, even in those provinces where there are no cities, there are secondary cities, where there are no metros, there are secondary cities. This issue of urban migration, because those grants are informed by that. Urban migration, whereby people move from rural areas to cities, it's happening in those cities. You don't have to have a metro for people to come in numbers to your urban areas. It's happening. We said last time, when you plan next time, refer to this financial year, consider those 17 secondary cities. That's still not considered. It's an issue for me because we don't want to meet for the purpose of meeting. We're meeting to influence the department where we don't agree, then I think it must at least be informed that this was not possible because of ABCD. The issue of waiting list, it may not be in this place, but we identified it as an issue. We even had a special meeting to discuss about the waiting list with the department. And it could be the problem even today. It's worse now because the allocated units that we are building now are being sold, unfortunately. Are being sold by our officials. I know in Gumala, it's not an RPP. We pay 50,000 until the officials of the department. And those RPP houses are meant for people who cannot afford. Even those who are on the list, they feel remote. Because between the contractor and the official, they share the 50,000. Those are beautiful houses that are being built. That's where the issue of mountain comes in and the waiting list. What is happening in those things? The issues of the AG that I was referring to, the AG is indicating that the indicators of the department, the AG is very serious about the indicators. Your indicators, do we have anything who is responsible for planning in the department? If we do, my assumption is that both the person who knows how to do blending, when you say an indicator is smart, he knows what you mean. It must be specific, measurable, realistic, and transparent. So our indicators really leaves much to be desired. As I'm sitting here asking myself that when you come next year with the report, exactly what will be asking, what is some of the indicators? You don't know what you'll be asking from the starting range, where you want to say have you been able to achieve this, because they're not smart. It's not something that you can measure. The issue of indicators is still a problem. It has to be looked at by the department. UAG also indicated that when you report, you start by, that's why I'm asking the question earlier, you start by saying the indicators are not in line with the strategic objective. That is why I had that question earlier. Because before, when you look at the plan, now the one that has an implication, then the maybe the board has not had time to go into details on the ACP. I'm not speaking to your strategic objective. I am hoping now that you have addressed that. But you fell asleep in the comments that when you report now, you are not reporting according to the indicators on the plan. Meaning that I know with the strategies are not concerned when they want to confuse you. You just present a closer report. You said they don't know what you're saying. No. Gone are those days. Now we are politicians, we know that when you come and tell us that I have planned to do ABCD, I was able to achieve this achieve. That is what the AG is saying. The reporting is not in line with the plan. Those are serious things that contribute to what your outcome of the auditor general. On the land matters, you can identify all these blocks or these units that you want to build. So we have learned, especially in municipalities, to build these units that you're talking about. Most of the time, what lays the department is land. You allocate units to a municipality, only to find that municipality does not have them to build these houses. And the agency that you have in the department, while you're signing your responsibility to ask these to release the event for these people, but the pace has been very slow, very, very slow. I will make one example that they are Pumala. In Timshulos, I don't know how long an application was made. In fact, Zimbo Belahe had a meeting with the agency to say, let in the department, please assist us to relieve that land, because already it's occupied by more than 2,000 people. And the municipality cannot do anything. Sometimes one morning they wake up and throw the measure of the airport, the very busy road. They close it because they want services. And the municipality can't put the services until that land is released from the state to the municipality. So the pace is very slow, but sometimes even the land that is reserved for housing is not suitable for building housing. Sometimes it's wetlands or not suitable for building housing. The equation of the value edge by our agents, are they able there? I can go on and on about land. The informal segment, a Cape Town, as an example, unfortunately drives here every day. Informal segment here in Cape Town, I don't know what we can do. I know what I'm saying may be your director's competition. It may be a competence of the municipality. Even on the road bank, you know that one plus a very important. Say, informal settlement. What they do now when it comes from the airport, they put stones on the road and you get robbed. I've been to that experience twice on the road. Not only me. So many people were off to that road because they are too close to the road. There is an area, a high but it's housing project. I don't know whether it's a governmental project or a municipal project. they wanted to do that, but also people were pushed into the Kailija. They were pushed into a random thing, I don't know how to do it. There are eight in the house, a mother and a father, children, one room. Ten, all four, some ten containers. Using the example of the one that I went to, there are eight. I don't know other how many people are inside. They are using one toilet. What do you have? Do we know about these things? Is it our responsibility? Are we moving towards? I saw us taking over Nelson Mandela. Can't we do the same with Kenya? We seem to be losing the battle of Kenya. I'm not choosing Cape Town because it's the west of, but it's in the eyes of everyone. Unfortunately, the seat of the parliament. We see almost everything, every day. Can't we do the same as we did in Nelson Mandela? This issue of the formal settlement is breaking out of hand by the time. Those are my issues. But they can learn if we do advise. I don't want to always use it on that because I'm coming for them. Simple manner for the very good plan of dealing with informal settlement. Cape Town can go and learn from this. They are unique. Law enforcement that is dealing with illegal regulation of land because we could see that moving forward we want to be able to support these people within a limited space of time. But when people try to invent, they are there, we remove them. There are no legal implications. Maybe it's one place they can use, go and then there are very few informal settlements. I know of one here, several ones. The rest are being dealt with. Those are the issues from my side. 1 minute.
Huh? Are you sure? If you go to page 15, and you read page 15 in conjunction with page 11, lack of access to affordable end user, but not gauge financing. That the financial institutions are reluctant to extend mortgage finance for housing. And then the paragraph below that talks to indebtedness of our people in terms of their capacity to get new trade. It means you are confirming in your own judgment the reluctance of financial institutions to give financial resources to people who cannot even afford to buy, to build their own home. The contradictions are there because, yes, it might be the reality, but even if it's a reality, we cannot confirm the reluctance of the financial sector to give our people financial resources to finance housing. Because it has been the attitude of the banking sector not to invest in human settlement or housing development. I think I want to make that point. And then you say in the same document on page 50. Yeah, on page 15, that government has engaged the last paragraph, not the last part. The public sector is committed to working with government to improve safety. You mentioned those sectors. You include the banking sector. Why would the banking sector choose where to cooperate with government and make contributions? And very reluctant to zoom in on where is needed the most. You understand what I'm saying? Where is needed the most is to reduce resources on the housing development. The last point, which is the last paragraph, procurement of consultants. On the same page 50. Is there any timeline that you put for yourself to say we are going to use consultants between now and December for 6 months? And can you share with us any mechanisms that will begin in that process, begin to build our own internal capacity at the state? Because the reality of the situation is consultants are devouring the resources of the government. Our bureaucrats, they just for sure sit, just consultant, and without putting into place any plan that will make sure that after this pool of consultants are gone, or is gone, we are able to run on our own. We've got the capacity internal, we've got necessary expertise and skills internal at the state.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I'll start and then my colleagues will and will then supplement. Chair, in relation to the houses for military veterans, as indicated, Minister has given and the department has followed the point that there's a commitment made that in terms of the military veteran, there's a figure of 6,000 houses that were committed to be built for military veterans. And time period for that completion is December 2016. Chair, what we can indicate that is in terms of our database, having consulted with the Department of Military Veterans, there's a total of 5,854 military veterans that we have that we've received and consulted with military veterans. And the commitment is that by the end of December 2016, between ourselves and the Department of Military Veterans, that backlog in terms of indigent military veterans without access to adequate housing will be eradicated, because I think we all agree that it is one of the blights on our society that those that have contributed to the liberation of this country are not adequately, and I think the point was made yesterday by the Minister that it's sad when you have to play through this one of our military veterans, we move from a shack to a grave. And I think that's one of the tragedies, and we've indicated here. So that figure that we've got is 5,854. As part of our business planning process, together with the provinces and the municipalities, we've indicated that that target is not negotiable. So it has to be, and in the business plans that the provinces have stomached, that at least taken care of particularly. So for this financial year, I can indicate that there's approximately 177 million that is provided, and currently there's 2,129 houses in various stages of completion. So I can give an update on that one. So in relation to public infrastructure, it's a higher specification, and remember that the department, in conjunction with military vets, there's a contribution, there's a substantial contribution that's made by military vets, and then the department makes a contribution. So the exact spec is a subsequent meter. I know that in terms of the specifications that are provided by military, by the Department of Military Veterans, which they then supplement that. But I can provide you the full spec. It's not the whole spec. It's the highest spec specification. I can confirm that. Yes. Chair, in relation to the bulk infrastructure, Chair, I think we could see that one of the purposes, particularly when the USDG, the Urban Settlement Development Plan, was established, one of the considerations was that we've got to supplement the bulk infrastructure. But that is only provided to the metros, but in conjunction with Department of Culture, and in many respects, committee members will know that one of the advantages we had in the provinces is that your entities straddle between human settlements and local government. So that provides the opportunity for us, when we're developing our business plan, to ensure that there is sufficient bulk infrastructure that's provided. Because we know that is one of the biggest constraints at the moment. And sometimes projects can go ahead because the subsidy is available, but the delays are as a result of bulk, particularly water, particularly sanitation. And what we do find in certain instances is that the house is constructed, but it cannot be connected to the sewer network because there's insufficient capacity. But that's an issue that has been taken up, particularly in the metros, in terms of the policy that ministers in the process of approving. One of the responsibilities of the USDG is to provide supplementation of that USDG for bulk and data infrastructure. So that is particularly something and it's being so in relation to the accreditation of metros, Santa will comment on about just give a brief. At the moment the 8 metropolitan municipalities, save for Buffalo and Mangong, have been provided with level 2. And there's a process that has been outlined and agreed between the metropolitan municipalities, the provinces, and the department for the finalization of that accreditation level 3, so that we improve the capacity of the state as a collective sphere to be able to develop that. And there's a full report that's available on that. It also forms part of ministers' outcome 8 delivery agreement with President Zuma. In relation to the baseline reduction, particularly in relation to compensation, it had impacted on the department, and I think particularly in relation to that. But I think the point, Chair, is that we can lament, and I think the point about it is we've just got to, I think our response as a department is to improve the efficiency. So although there are engagements that we are undertaking with National Treasury, I think there's also a responsibility on us as a department not to just sit back and say, well, because there's no money, we can't do this. I think that's not the attitude that as a bureaucracy and administration we need to take. But if it has impacted, of particular concern is in relation to its impact on delivery figures, particularly in relation to service sites and houses, and we've indicated that we've got to improve some of those efficiencies. So driving hard about it, and as the Minister indicated yesterday, reviewing the tender procurement system so we get some of those efficiencies that we lost on the reduction through some of the improvements that we have at the department. Chair, as indicated, I mean, on the ACP, Chair, Minister has, the fact that I'm sitting here as DDG for strategy and planning, we've checked the strategy and planning deficiency, and hopefully, Chair, that will find expression in improved ACP strategy, the plan, because those are key. A priority that we've undertaken is that we've met with the AG over the last 2 weeks 3 times. In fact, by Monday, the particular issues that we've given from the Parliament, both portfolio and which we can give to yourself, is that by latest Tuesday, those issues that you made, particularly in relation to smart, particularly in relation to how as bureaucracy we try and massage things that is to our benefit and not to the community, that will be addressed. And I think the one issue is, and if we're saying that 1.5 million or we're saying that we're going to deliver 300,000, can you find it in the APP? Because sometimes you can't. And that's how as officials sometimes we get out of jail on those things. Chair, the subsidy quantum as we sit now is 110,000 for a house, the construction of a house. There's 43,000 that's available for the servicing of the standards, the water, the sanitation, and other infrastructure. And then there's also an additional 6,000 that is provided for land. We've indicated that with that, there must be the ability for us as a society to be able to develop the digital product. And I think if you look at those figures, particularly in relation to that, that's what the concept is at the moment. Jen? Okay, the servicing network is the bulk and link, and then the providing of water and sanitation, that's your articulation. That's particularly so in relation to the issue on bulk and link. So what happens is that sometimes a contractor gets appointed for the construction of the house and there's no services. And I think that's particularly so one of the issues that I can confirm is that the department has a monitoring and evaluation unit, although the capacity and the effectiveness of that is one of the instructions Minister Kibana improve so that you can see the results and you can take action, particularly proactive action, to ensure those things that Parliament as well as the relevant monitoring agency that picked up and criticized us for. So that's an issue. It is there, Chair, and hopefully over a period of time within this term of office we'll be able to see some effectiveness on that. So on the issue.
It is not checking because even in areas where there are services, road services are put by the minister. And in fact, what the minister did was say, maybe when you buy a bed, you pay the connection fee and the own of the bed. It doesn't happen. That money is just given to contractors. Yeah.
This is the subject is 10,000
10 to the house.
I have 10. For the foundation and the wall. So for the 10,000 is over the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And in addition to that, 6,000.
For land.
Who do you think is 6,000?
In relation to a project and over the timeline, if there's land to be purchased, the maximum amount that is allowable to contribute to that land purchase is 6,000 rand per stand.
So, the municipalities are very blunt for us between houses to produce. There is no money that goes to the municipality. Let's take the 2,000 rand. The 2,000 does not go to the municipality. Or it does not go to Amako if it has to go to Amako, but I don't know about that. But I'm just talking about the municipality where I'm sure of. That money does not go to the municipality. I'm sure about that. And services, it's either we are affected by families are affected by culture, it means services, maybe from the money that you are referring to, whatever it is, or computer excellence.
but there is no, there are no services that are put by the constructor. Not for me. I don't know. Meaning that it's 45 plus 12,000.
We're
giving it to conductors for free.
To indicate that, but the figures that I've given you are the maximums. So if this land that has been purchased already or has been made available, then that amount doesn't necessarily get paid.
I think it has to do with how the construction. We have like, and the team has presented the business plan which is coming up with a different intervention. Under the financial interventions, we have a program that looks at the acquisition of land. So you will list all the projects according to where it is in terms of the value chain. If this is a project where you're required to acquire land, you start with the acquisition of land. I'm not starting maybe in the beginning of the process in terms of the studies that need to be done so that a land is in place for us to be able to put top structure. So each and every project, like the number of units that we have reflected as part of the delivery, contract delivery, you would have each project area attached to each amount that is indicated. Where we like here dedicated, we don't need to acquire land. It would have been land maybe cost of in the previous, maybe financial year. It will not be accommodated as part of the business plan because each and every project will start. We are able to look at or analyze the business plan as they are brought by provinces in terms of checking each and every project as to what it is that they are looking at. Is it the top structure? Is it the deficit? Is it the planning? And you break the issue around the money that goes to municipalities in rural areas. Rural projects will look at only the plan of the top structure, not the looking even at service in the land because the areas they have. But the bottom line, I think, for overall is that when we look at all the projects, because they have each and every project comes with a different set of dynamics. So in terms of the plans that are breaking by provinces, we are able to unpack in terms of what it is that we are buying. Like the plan says we will be building around 160 units, around 120 units which have a structure, but we will be having money that goes to services, which talks about the figure of 45,000 which is around it all. And within the service team, it's like there is a very standard which is applicable in terms of the level of service because multiple areas are not the same. Some will have a grade A service and some will have a grade B service. A grade B is where you have a traffic road, and grade A is where you have the highest level of service, like you have platform. So we have like details of the northern and standard which are applicable for all the projects, but the issue is around the packaging of projects to look at the entire housing value chain and understand the change of the project as to how far it is, then you are able to tell what it is that we are doing.
Maybe we need a
separate
discussion
before
we start
We need a separate discussion, but it's an issue that needs to be looked at because, you know, Drena in this referendum is now even more concerned. Because what is used now to play for vengeance? Because you say it's valid. What figures do you use now? Because then it means you have to do your planning prior to undertaking budget because you will be knowing that in this area we will be using the rural areas, which is also a concern to me. If you don't get budget for services, what does that mean? That is where the most thing is present in rural areas. So maybe we need a different discussion on that matter and also take some, it does mean the department to do some investigation, what problems it is. Because we find that if they give the full amount, you do need to check that, because if you say, as an area, for example, you don't pay that money for services to whom, because services are paid by the department. So those are the issues that may need a separate discussion on that matter. But for now, the problem.
Thank you. I think you're correct. I mean, whenever the committee wants to, we'll present that for the subsidy and how it works and
And it also, I think, as part of the process, is for us to present the Pareto business plan, so you know some of the stuff and how we've elevated that. But I think so at your we will do that. So in relation to monitoring chair, in addition to the departmental monitoring and evaluation unit, we've also got the NHPRC, which undertakes its own inspections in relation to unit and compliance. In addition to that, Chair, we must also indicate that as part of the responsibilities of the building regulations, municipalities also have a responsibility to be able to sort of sign off the building plans and ensure that it's in compliance. The relation to that is that there's normally three that occur. Sure, but that notwithstanding that fact, I think there are, and as indicated by members, we'll check out the one in East London, but we do find that we know that there are some of these areas where it doesn't happen. And a part of the improvement process is to resolve that. Okay, in relation to the space economy, I don't know if you have to wait for the member that raised the question on the space economy to come back, or must I address it now?
Do I now take him to his question?
Yeah.
On
the yes, sure. Okay, chair. All right. Yeah, in relation to the space economy, Chair, when we speak about the space economy, I think the point that the members raised, Chair, is that if you look at the NDP, the diagnostic analysis, even some of the government and state evaluations of it, we know that in relation to radical spatial transformation, we've not been as radical as we should be. And I think as part of this, you'll know that ministers are for the master spatial plan, which basically does exactly that. It's spatial restructuring to ensure spatial equity, justice, and equality, and integration. So although we've not been able to achieve it, I think through the master spatial plan that the department initiated in conjunction with the Housing Development Agency, it'll give a clear picture of where investments need to place, how they need to place, and what the impact of those spatial interventions will be. Because I think the issue is that if we want to be able to deal with inequality, if we want to deal with unemployment, if we want to deal with eradication of poverty, then the spatial economy and the space economy, as we indicated, particularly in relation to space and how those investments are made in those spaces, is addressed. So in relation to the title piece,
thank you very much. If you could allow some of where we can contribute, we will do so. On the issue of the master special plan, space economy issues, the important thing that we can start by noting, I think the challenge is different from the different partners from what they have to say. What human development is now trying to do and is grappling with is to put together a master special plan that will cover the whole of the world. What it really does is that it puts us in conflict with the community of the funders for development and land affairs. Because they also have legislative responsibility for more or less doing the same thing. So we're trying to push together a way in which there's one department that actually drives the process. It could be in the political level. But here, what you mean by special economies vis-a-vis another special plan is to move away from just building houses on their own. So we don't find the construction, you should not find the construction in the future where it's just houses only. It must now be houses, schools, hospitals, all in the same space. Hence the concept of mega project, which is a catalyst project, which is now what you carry. So going forward from now, going forward, what the minister has engaged with NEC on and some of the premiums on, especially the things, is that please do not submit a plan for the construction of houses, because everything from the number of things. And because we're now moving to a subsidizing town, the houses that are going to be built must have some at least 10,000 units at a minimum high. So because it's bigger requirements, it does have this impact and does have an element of slowness to it. But you know, the understanding the economic part of it, it's a greater city with its own economy than the state was. And there were people who don't actually travel. That's what we're trying to do about this most kind of the best example that the one who's the most credit is how they Val River cities that are constructing those kinds of things. And we're trying to see if the other provinces can follow can follow suit. But at the higher level, it's the management that is from the biggest. The day before yesterday, Minister indicated one of the things at a political level that must have said that maybe human city should future, if the future president is in the past, it should be human settlement. I think, and planning. And planning. Because that is very currently like outside of it. But we have to manage. So those are the things we're currently correcting and we're trying to put together. That's why in plans, you see an attempt to marry the two, so they sometimes appear to be disjointed. As opposed to trying to manage the responsibilities that create the discussion.
Thank you. So in relation to the scientologies, the backlog figure that we've given is the current backlog, but the target is 900, but the current backlog is 970, it includes the municipal backlog. So it's the total backlog in relation to the subsidized housing sector for which we're responsible to manage. So in relation to the point around the mining town, what we have designated is that all the Free State Summit areas are included in the overall state intervention in the mining strategy. We bring principles among as per the DORA and if you keep includes so that we're speaking about.
Could we believe that because we are not included?
The Free State, there are mining areas in the Free State that's included in the bigger picture, but for the human settlement intervention there's no specific allocation. Although, say, if we come back in or if the committee requests, in the detailed plans of the Free State, you'll find that in those towns there are investments that are being made in relation to human settlement. But in relation to the amount in the DORA, there's no specific fixed amount, but that doesn't necessarily mean that. I think it's important for committee members based on constituency responsibilities that there are allocations and we can detail that. I think the point, and I hope you can address that. Chair, the secondary market, I mean, Nathanael will cover some of that, but the secondary market refers to the market after the initial house has been sold, the secondary property market, and that includes all spheres, the local, the low income, middle, and the high income in relation to that. Chair, in relation to the job opportunities, there are figures attached to the amounts that we, and the department has got a model which on the basis of the difference here. So you know, when you construct the house, for every construction of the house, there's figures attached to that. And that model is available, and it does calculate what the overall contribution is in terms of primary, secondary, and induced numbers are. So for example, we are able to calculate what the induced number is. So for example, as a result of the construction of the house, someone buys a fridge, and what the concomitant responsibility or job opportunity or downstream that we have. So in relation to the 2 million versus the 1.46, okay, as far as we are aware, and I can't comment on what was placed before the committee, but I know consistently Minister has indicated, even from her first budget speech to this term of office, indicated it was 1.5 million. So it's 1.46 million rounded off, which gives you the 1.5. That's the figure. So the 2 million, I have to take that up and indicate here. I'm not sure who in fact raised it or where it was raised, but I can look at it and come back to you on that. Chair, in relation to the two grants and the point around the expansion of the USDG, Minister is in the process, as I've indicated, of approving the USDG. And as part of the recommendations and the directives given, is that the USDG must be expanded to the secondary funding city. So originally, Chair, when the USDG was developed, it had included 12, and as a result of discussions with Treasury, they limited it to 8. We've included, I think, the Rustenburg, Msunduzi, Polokwane, and Mbombela were included in that. So there were 4. Yeah, there were 4 additional. But Chair, I need to indicate that part of the department, and I think that we agree with this committee and the sentiment, they should not be limited to just those metro cities, because they are aspirant metros. That will come about, and we've got to be able to expand. So that policy does include that ability, so that where there is money that are not utilized, it can then be redirected to those areas. Yeah.
About job opportunities and we leave figures in your office. Because
the challenge that's facing this country. People are unemployed. And every piece of resource that we put into place or we deploy, it must create a piece of opportunity for jobs, for our people to have an income. Permanent or temporary. We need those people. Don't give them minimum.
Thank you. Okay.
We
need to
wrap
up. Thank
you. Chair, I'll just ask Mufasa to just pick up the points on the USDG so that on the different issues that you've raised.
I won't get any light upon what the chair is trying to just pick the matter up. What I wanted to highlight was the engagement that we are having with Treasury, because I think it's in the costing of the USDG and allocation of the USDG to say that it came from the mid-funding which was combined with the HSDG funding. Our policy currently has included a clause which basically says say this is the intention of government to extend it to the corner system. The part that the DDG is talking about is around the underperformance of the agents within the event they underperform, the money will should be shifted in between the metro and even into some of the different systems. So part of the engagement that I'm pushing on to this committee, the fact that we still need to engage a full load of the national program so that there is a transition that happens from additional funds to this Medicare from the energy fund and some other portions of the other funds so that they're able to create this big fund that covers all the other certain activities. Thank you.
All admins equal, some are more equal than others. The Cape Town, Joburg, Durban issue. We know about it and we must do something. We can't let it happen. We can't let it happen. You see, most of the time when you look at figures, you look at what you have, you say you must have a decimal this month. Going to HMA, other areas of course are extremely poor. Let's be alive to those things, because before we do anything, let's just keep in our minds. We are dealing with people. It is a game that science brings us to. For me, if it was me, I'm not going to bring this money to my job. I'm trying to bring out the game. I was going to bring it to the poor of the family. I understand what you're saying, but those metros are making money, generating a lot of money. You know, the job is making more money than the problem. The problem is making more money related than the national. So what do you do? Why do you take water from your house to the sea? That's what you do. No. I'm sure because Melania is on this matter. We can't allow it because we know some of us are from poverty. We know that we unless when Joburg, Durban, Durban has got something, then we can consider. It can't be like that. We actual members of the country. So we should just take the same. So that is why I wanted to have the minister to raise this issue and spread as you are raising them with him.
And that is what we can do to give you the decision for the not for me in the land.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank
the official one way the political information to respond to the way politicians are asking and the 8 metros were actually approved to be dealt with in this way not yet passed the application. That's why they were the beginning of the metro. My accreditation in years 2003
the fact that the patient should be very soon, then you can have what's left when you get to the patient is assigned. And then assigned is better because you should need something for that. Hence, the minute that the entity agrees to focus on accreditation and accreditation, because assignment in terms of constitution is something for that system, which we may not yet be ready for, and then we can discuss. But in essence, assignment means the powers of an entity move to local. Then the question that gets raised is what you do with the entity, what the power is called. So it was said that it's four steps and spend time on accreditation one and accreditation two and fully comply with those letters. Because they don't get the accreditation two, those that have are not yet performing at the level that is expected of the entity. Because of an expenditure model, so the next implementation of the other issues, focus on one, which is where we are at. So that's why those UFDGs are coming. There is then a program that the Unantan is mentioning and talking about, which is committing should be finished, which is the civic capacity, what do you call it, civic?
This
is a post program, etc., which is looking at all the issues affecting it, including the ones that we have to share with the region. And they were also engaging with this official level, but also the political level, there are other meetings that are taking place with it. And the way we understand so far, the current proposal are the political grounds in Rwanda, and then the spread out, but they are managed at all. So we're trying to understand what the implications of all of the things will be, so what it means, especially from what we are hearing. The USDG will be influenced. Currently, it's the same process. And we're trying to understand why our sentry don't release this goes and goes to another country. So, one nation is a process. But at a level of representative, another state will be useful to understand the economics and the process. But the issue has been accepted that how do we look at how we can finance. The point is that when UNDG, that again, Matthew was talking about, criticizing the current expenditure of all the expenditure we need now, to say, minimum level of specificity, if you don't need my money, which is energy money, state, because you want to get it, and you need money. Because the big activity, the evidence does tell us that it appears from the way they are not spending, that they need energy less than the other thing spend 65% of the year is money that they get. The big ones that you mentioned, which has spent a lot, that's something that they really don't need. But what you are finding on the ground is that the human settlement issues are key in the same thing. So you put it that they agreed upon the department which the minister said to your speech, while they're not taking on their part, that they are making a mistake. They will spend all of the money. So we ask directly the issue of differentiation. They have the capacity to raise their own money, but the issue of human settlement are still dire in their own and then how they are conducting. But in the bigger picture, the debate on then how to spread this beyond just the aid. I'm not sure if really the neoliberal situation is reflected, but the concerns are and have been noted, and is an attempt to address. So in a sense, it is a political
thank you.
Chair, in relation to the issue around the strategic planning, Chair, the smart issue that the market stops with myself, Chair, so going forward, I would take responsibility for that. Chair, in relation to the land budget, Chair, as indicated, the Housing Development Agency has been appointed as an entity. Chair, one of the issues, as I've indicated, is as part of our business planning process, there are allocations that are made for land. One of the things that we're busy consolidating and looking at is the consolidation of the land acquisition budget, so we know exactly where some of the money goes, how the land is purchased, when it gets developed, and ultimately taken to that. So in relation to that, Chair, it's about improving the capacity of the HDA. We'll see that's been done in terms of the budget. Chair, I think the point was raised around the value add of the agency, and I think it's not a debate, but I think it's a given that the agencies, particularly whether in this department or any, they must address the market failures and we must hold them accountable. So part of the planning process, part of the strategic alignment process is to ensure that the agencies are consistent with the mandate of the government and the department, that they don't act outside of that. And I think that's a consistent relationship alignment. So in relation to the informal settlement, we got the national,
they are doing what they're supposed to do, but it's not, we believe they can do a lot more and more because. And what the minister then instructed, which he also announced, is the consolidation of the federal funding institution. Here, off, 5 of June, when the pass of NHS brought the last one. Fortunately, what makes that easy is that in the operation, so I've always part of NHS. For emphasis, October, what is said now is that in the market, people get sent to different things. But for intervention, they go to then they go to NHS. So we felt that the intervention didn't work very well. It's very like of the situation. So that the great value adds to the customer at the end of the day. So that is very the challenge that the NHS has is financial. They have not had capitalization. We've been asking Treasury to capitalize them some more. And Treasury has been saying it is not going to capitalize them more. The artifact is not there until such time that it can show greater capacity itself. So the consolidation will help. When that gets done, then Treasury will be checking more. What the minister has also asked is that to assist the NHS is to leverage more money in the market. When our budget gets allocated, USDG and HSDG, what might happen is that they put in trenches in terms of dollars directly to government, and they take longer to pay. So what is sitting in that bank account, they have an interest which is key, and you don't get it again. What she's arguing for now is that can say that we send that money to you, we put it in our account, and we release it, so that while it's here, the interest that is paid, we can use it for further activities. So that is the realignment that we're trying to achieve to make the agency in respect of the NHBRC, where there are these projects like also one that I mentioned where houses are falling apart, we would like to get more details of that information so that they can send this way to this way of inspection. There are projects, Chair, and the NHBRC has confirmed them that were done in the provinces and in the municipalities that were never reported as required by law to the NHBRC, and therefore they never inspected them to make sure that they comply. So what the problem of NHBRC is focus on those so that they are fit and on new ones that are now responsible. The net result of that exercise is that 2 billion the government has been spending on what is called the education. So the minister has put that promise to him. And that money that otherwise would go to rectification will now be reallocated into funding for other programs. So the point of the issue is that the entities are getting re-energized and restructured to be able to respond so that the concern levels correctly raised.
Thanks, Chair. Just a couple more. Chair, on the informal settlements, Chair, we agree. I mean, I think the point is that one of the issues around the USDG, one of the HSD that we've emphasized with the provinces and municipalities is their
is to ramp up and ensure that those households receive the benefits, because you'll see even in terms of the delivery agreement, the amount now or the number of households that must be impacted is 750,000. Just in relation to the emergency, particularly road reserve, the housing code does provide that. And if you need, you quit. The problem is the municipalities choose selectively how they want to deal with certain specific households. And particularly in relation to households that are living on road reserves, particularly households that are living in flood areas or flood plains. And it's provided for. There's money, there's mechanisms. And I think the issue is, again, is our ability to monitor and implement and ensure that what needs to happen. Chair, you've indicated, for example, the Mbombela to plan around land invasion. Swan has also got another way to look at. So I think the issue is that, particularly in relation to what is happening and the standards that are getting applied, for example, the 1:10, we've indicated that is not the ideal. The ideal is to have, particularly in the informal settlement upgrading program, on-site one house with water, sanitation, cable, and the rail, particularly going forward in relation to the informal settlement. And it's something that we're passionate about as a department, and I think it resonates politically as well. Chair, I think Kusumana raised the issue around the finance and what we're doing around trying to create some of those. Chair, I'm not sure if my colleagues will just maybe add Kusumana in the front. I don't know if you can comment on some of that.
I think you've covered more than all of them. Just additional information in terms of other information which was discussed earlier on to say we have about 28 municipalities that are activated level 1 and level 2. The other one is with regards to the waiting list and the concern that has been raised regarding officials who are billing for the tribe of 50,000 in Mbombela. We have what we call a fraud prevention unit in the department, where such cases are supposed to be reported. But in terms of the waiting list, we have what we call a regional legislative function to be deployed in our provinces. And it's working progress in terms of ensuring that it gets made available in also the municipal office to the correction agreement in the recent meeting that we hosted with the mayor regarding the setting up of customer care centers with we'll be able to deploy the very same nationalist register where our beneficiaries will go to, where they have challenges with regards to issues of housing, and be able to enjoy their needs in terms of what they require. I think that's all from my side.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I think lastly,
Chair,
I think we do agree and accept that using consultants is really not a welcome situation. But the difficulty around it, Chair, is when your compensation of employees budget is cut, and you find yourself in a situation where the department you have less in terms of compensation of employees budget and work has got to be done, and you end up with consultants. We are looking at how best what one can do. To actually ensure that things get implemented, plans get implemented, but on the other hand, you reduce the use of consultants. But when you actually have less and less budget for compensation of employees, you find yourself in a very difficult situation. We are engaging with Treasury. We have put some proposal before Treasury to see how we can actually address this, to enhance your compensation of employees budget and reduce the use of consultants so that you can employ more people with skills, because that is the critical issue. We have to work with the necessary skills. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. The nature of that is the point is we're taking. One of the things that maybe we should also reflect on is the capacity of improvements and capacity of local development. Because some of the interventions that the additional office is being forced to make in the use of some of that in relation to things that should have been done and those two things. Because they themselves don't have the capacity within their department, then it comes by way of national information and emergency information. Whereas ideally, if they have the capacity, which is part of the accreditation program, there wouldn't be a need for that information. So we're trying to balance between not having to intervene in safety, but when we do intervene, we will have to buy some of those expenses. We can create a structure for purposes of engaging in community and local networks. That's why we need to have a lot of officials at that level. That's why the HDA has come to in Nelson Mandela, municipality. And this is the role of the HDA. The HDA was supposed to be, when it was conceptualized in legislation, to be the development of the state. As a developmental state, some of the things that we know we do are there. So the HDA was supposed to be. It never was there to do those kind of intervention. And therefore, it never came to what the minister has done since taking over the department is to re-emphasize the national police in this regard. So the ATA buys the net or get them from departments, SOP, and municipalities, and develop them and run the project. So in Nelson Mandela, they are going there as an implementing agent which will carry out the development projects on behalf of the city, for the city, so that we assist and deal with some of the problems. So I think that if you are planning the normal course, you hand over to your plans to the province and national and the HDA and the HDA government will do the contract so that the majority will involve the project. But that's what it will be as province. It will be difficult to do that in Cape Town because there are different political dynamics in Cape Town. This one in Nelson Mandela is done by agreements between the people who are unlikely to get a kind of agreement within the West Cape because of these types of dynamics. So that's what makes that a problem. But the role of the HDA panel members is that in any sphere where there are challenges with deliver, there is the same institution that can be brought on board to come in instead of bringing themselves. So that's another question. So you don't have to get conducted to come in project manager, project like Kunuka, HDA is the one that you can train, which is supposed to have the capacity of official faithful who want to do that. So you can save a lot of money. So that's the second. So I'm trying to know, it hasn't happened in the past, and you can ask why it hasn't happened. The question is, so we're currently going to be structuring the HDA to be able to do that and do that development. And they want to be contacted. The other point I wanted to make that the issue of selling of BNG and RTC houses is a major problem. And if we can find solutions, what is happening is that people get housed. Because of, and these are indigenous people who don't even. What happens is those people don't take advantage of the situation. And they come and offer 10,000, 6,000. And figures there depending on the needs of the beneficiaries. And because there's this block where they are not allowed to sell in 8 years, people lose by just the increase of the participation in the selling market. So it's very informal. If you go to Google some three stars, you'll find an advertisement of 3,000 varying in prices from 200,000 and other 70,000. As the minister said, the favorite is a corner house. If they have it in a corner, the entrepreneurs offer good money because the corner house is put up in the business. And they convert into a spa and a shop. Other than just the legal issue to say, can't sell under 8 years, there's an issue of what happens to those people after they sold. Now, after they sold, the belief is that they're going to join the queue so then they get the house. And we've been able to use our database to block them. So we can't join the queue because we're able to show that nobody will have to go there. But what they do when there isn't a way of checking, they go to the phone. And then we're increasing the services that we provide in the phone. So what we're grappling with is how do we manage this? Because people are not on source, but how do we educate them more so that they realize that if we're spending another 6,000 in something that happens to your house, it makes no economic sense to spend it for 6,000. We are telling that they had a loss. And that's the first thing. So it's way safer. Secondly, it is not wise, if you are indigent, you can live in a house worth 150,000. It's not wise to pass it on to the next generation within the family. Or they can find a way in which the state can take over the house and keep it within the state so it's taking it. But that brings another issue to say, now where would we get it? How do you build a house on the 2015 and come back here and buy it? Where was the money to buy the house? So what the minister is instructed is that let's spend more time on consumer education, educating people, understanding net worth and value of the house, and show them that the 160,000 that you now have in the form of an asset, you can go to a bank and ask for 80,000 and use the 80,000 to do whatever you need to do, and your house becomes your asset. So there is no sense. We thought we should raise this because it is a big problem, but it is now affecting our program. Makes them more expensive and makes them difficult to manage. So we really appreciate if you can find assistance from yourselves on how to grapple with this and put a hold on this. I'm not going to be doing a study to try to understand the size of this phenomenon, because others are saying it's pretty much a very big ministry who are reluctant to agree with the particular approach. They're being vulnerable, further vulnerable and listening to the people, and then continue to think like they're over. Because the people that can afford are largely some foreign nationals who happen to have cash in hand because of the savings of the state. So we were trying to see if we can do that. So the study will look at that. It will look at whether or not it is true that people do lay for a cash issue. Other than that, don't make that assumption because it's not true. People pay the money and they go and improve the circumstances. And saying we don't show up at the end. So we're going to do a study and try to give concrete evidence on what happens in that market of buying and selling those things. But it is happening and it is creating these other problems. And therefore, coming as a whole, this program is getting undermined by social circumstances. So we'd appreciate if you can be assisted on how to address the situation. If you can, then. Thank you.
No, I think the study will assist a lot because we'll all be having international, like, as you're saying, maybe we're some country to pay the sell and go back to the food. But it is true because some of them, they don't come in the form of the country. They use the mother or relatives who don't need the house to sell. And you want to know. You want to know. But thank you very much for the presentation and the engagement. I'm hoping that it did assist the department in terms of improving the plan. But just to repeat again, this issue of not serving is just a limitation that you have to work on that decision. It is not a job. It's not a job. It's a very good estimate. But it was my time will not allow the department and the company budget. So it has to fulfill the contract. We don't have to see the problem that we have when the ministers are not available for the holiday. That is a problem. Only, we are finishing 1 year this year. It becomes a problem. Where are they? What are they? We know that they. Please give time. It is really twice the process to come to the committee. It's been to the several times. But the first one to repeat again in the meeting on this committee to take decisions. But if they don't want to decision in the machine, you're not going to fulfill the discussion. You have to take extra ordinary measures to have this meeting to take place. Because of the pressure in our program as well as for the least quality to be that we need. Otherwise, thank you very much for the time. And we appreciate also for the from the members because we had already indicated that this is not going to be. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Thank you for the action. Thank you.
Just a common